I love you.
I love you.
Got a little secret for you.
Come on.
We are live streaming.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Call one. Every one of you be on your best behavior. Right? Good to be in the house of the Lord. We did have a great 4th of July celebration, the fireworks, the food, the hospitality, the beautiful place that we got to go through by the lake. We thank Sheila and Bobby for their gracious hosting us, and we don't take that lightly, do we? We appreciate what they do for the church. It was awesome. Had a lot of kids there, had a lot of food, had a lot of fish and hamburgers and hot dogs, and I think we ate everything. I think we did, really. And William Pierce preached the word of God to us, and Brother, we thank you for your word that God put in your heart to give us. Somebody said, boy, that's a lot of money to spend on fireworks. You know, there's always somebody naked. Always. You don't have to go very far. And I've heard people say, well, you know, there's a lot of money to spend on fireworks. But see, they don't know behind the scenes. They don't know what I know.
Right.
Hey, man, William brought the word to people that needed it. Why can't people just think about the positive? You know, we're such a negative bunch at times. God doesn't bless your negative spirit. You're negative. God can't bless you. He can't do anything with you or for you. This book is a positive book. Amen. Now, it's got some negative things in it we need to understand, but I will tell you something. This book is positive. And I thank God for that. Had a great weekend last Sunday night. We celebrated 4th of July, our freedom. And I preached last Sunday morning. You remember, I had to write it down, or I forgot. But the first time freedom was mentioned in the Bible. You remember that? In the Garden of Eden. First time. And what it means to be free. Had a good time preaching that message. I'm going to preach this morning on five words that will change your life. Five words that will change your life. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. We'll begin reading. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, you can stand in honor of God's word if you like. As we read this, I want you to think about your potential in Christ. So many people are living below their potential they have in Jesus Christ. And in this scripture, we'll see why. Isaiah, the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Let's stop there just for a moment. Uzziah was a great king. I think it's safe to say that Uzziah was Isaiah's uncle. Isaiah, when he talked about his uncle Uzziah, actually Uzziah died of leprosy. But he was a good godly king. And as we read this scripture, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The word train there means glory. His glory filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two or twain, he covered his face, talking about the angels. And with two, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And verse 5, then said I, talking about Isaiah, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes had seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a fire, a live coal, in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. In verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? I want you to see this. Look at it. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? That is a question, listen to me, that is a question for each one of us. The Lord is saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will go for the lost? Who will go to the hurting? Who will go? Isaiah says, I love this, five words that will change your life. Then said I, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. You can be seated. Those five words will change your life. If you say them and take them seriously, they will change your life. They will change you inside. They will change you physically. They will change you. They will change you in your attitude. It will change you in every aspect of your life. If you say, listen to me, here am I, Lord, send me. A lot of Christian people are living under the potential for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because they haven't declared these five words. You see, in this scripture, basically we see three things. We see that Isaiah, before he said, Lord, send me, we see an upward look. He looks to God in verses 1 through 4. He's in the temple, the train of the temple. The glory of God comes down, fills the temple. And the Bible says there was smoke, there was power, there were seraphims. And they covered their face, they covered their feet. The Bible says that it was so powerful time and place that Isaiah was called to be in his life. And it was powerful. But listen, first thing he had to do, he looked to God. Amen. He looked to God. Amen. You see, every one of us today, we need to look to God. In a situation in the world that we're living today, we must look to God. God is our only source of hope. God, listen, all of our hope, I'm telling you, is in Jesus. Amen. Our hope is not in politicians. Our hope is not in doctors. Our hope, listen, is in Jesus Christ. We must go to God. Isaiah went to God. He expressed his love, his concern. You see, when he was living and he was a prophet, the Bible says in chapter 5, if you go home and read that, you see that the world, Judah, Israel, was very evil. Very evil in chapter 5. There was a widespread adultery. There was widespread alcoholism. The Bible says that the alcohol was flowing freely in chapter 5. And Isaiah was concerned, and he goes to the temple, and his heart is actually breaking because his uncle Uzziah, who he thought would bring Judah out of all their troubles, he had died. Isaiah must have been troubled that day. He goes into the temple and he goes to God. Listen, every one of us this morning must take an upward look. Every one of us, when it comes to raising your children, when it comes to working, when it comes to going to church, and when it comes to your physical health, you must look to God. Listen, politicians are okay in their place. Doctors are okay in their place. Lawyers are okay in their place. But I'm going to tell you something. Our source of help is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, this morning, you've got to look to God. But secondly, he took a good, hard, inward look. Listen to me. Isaiah took a good, hard, inward look. Every one of us this morning ought to take a good, hard look into our hearts, into our lives. When he saw what was taking place, he said, "Oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips." He was looking in his heart. He said, "Lord, I live among people with unclean lips. Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And the Bible says that one of the angels took a coal from the fire and put it to his lips. And the Bible says that he was made clean through that. You see, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, every one of us this week, surely, we've messed up. Every one of us, in one way or the other, we've messed up. I'm thankful that we can come into the house of God. We can come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says he will never let you go. Doesn't matter what you've done. You still belong to him if you're saved. And the great thing about it is, if you'll just take an honest look into your heart and into your life. A lot of people don't want to do that. They get to a place where they think they want to do that and they run back. They don't want to face up to the facts in their heart and in their life. You see, if we're going to be used of God, you've got to look upward. Listen, you've got to look inward. Are you here this morning? You say, "Brother Robert, I feel so empty. I feel so empty in my life." You may be saved. You say, "Brother Roger, I feel so empty in my life. I'm living my life, but I am accomplishing very little." So many Christians, listen to me, so many Christians, they're just getting older. They're not getting more Christ-like. Some of you are gifted today. You're getting older, but you're not getting any more Christ-like. You've been saved for a long time. You see, I don't want you to just get older. I want you to become more Christ-like. Live in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How about it when you take a good, hard, honest look into your heart and Have you got the real thing? Have you got Jesus in your heart? Will you say today, Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me to the hurting. Send me to the lost. Send me, Lord, here I am. I'm looking for you. I'm taking an inward look in my heart and in my life. Maybe you're here today and say, Brother Roger, that's right. I'm living my life, but I'm not accomplishing anything. It's because you really haven't got plugged in. You may be saved, but you're not really plugged in. You're not serving the church. You want to serve Jesus? You serve him through the church. You don't serve the Lord to do your own thing. You serve the Lord through the local New Testament church. You get involved in nursery. You get involved in the bus ministry. You get involved in the things of God. You get involved in Sunday school. You see why you feel empty and you're not accomplishing anything? It's because you haven't really got plugged in. The thing about it is, you've got to be honest. You've got to take an outward look. You've got to look to God. You got to take an inward look. And the third thing, you got to take an outward look. An outward look and get the message from God. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to be reading verses. Let's read verses 9 through 13. And I want you to look at the monitor, because this is the message. The five words that will change your life is to say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do, church? Show me what you want me to do. Put me in the place of service. Now listen, when you say, here am I, send me, you got to think about it. You don't want to take it carelessly, because God expects you to be faithful in your calling. If you can't be faithful, don't do it. It's so dangerous to say, Lord, here I am. Send me and not be faithful. It's dangerous. I wouldn't do it at all. One of these days, listen, God's judgment does come slowly. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that God doesn't strike us dead the moment we do something wrong. But I want to tell you something. God's judgment will come. And God's judgment will come slowly in your life. And I want you to understand, when you make a commitment to the church, when you join the church, you become a church member. Anybody have an idea what that means? Have you ever read the church covenant? When you become a church member, it's serious. It's not like joining some club somewhere. You become a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful, it's so wonderful. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm glad I'm part of the church. The church is not going under. The church is going up.
Amen.
Going up. But I want you to see this. Look at this in verse 9. You remember what we said? An upward look to God. An inward look to self. And the third, I want you to see the outward look that Isaiah received. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. Tell them. Tell them ones that don't understand. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. They see, they hear, they can't comprehend, they don't understand. Isaiah, I want you to go. You said, here I am, send me. Now this is what I want you to do. Make the heart of this people fat. And make their eyes heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be what?
Healed.
Then said I, Lord, how long? Lord, how long? Do you want me to bring this message? Lord, I'm retired. I'm going to retire from the church. I'm going to retire from your work. Lord, this is difficult. Isaiah was living in a difficult time. And they were hard on him. They hated him. They hated the message and they hated God because Judah was so backslidden. They were so dead in their heart. They were just living it up in adultery and alcohol and just having a big party. And God said, Isaiah, you said, here I am. And this is what I want you to preach. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without a man, and the land be utterly desolate. He's saying, Isaiah, as long as I put breath, as long as I put breath in your lungs, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful until the end. Look what it says. And the Lord have removed men far away. And there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That's what's taking place today. You know, all through my ministry, I've loved people and tried to help people, reached out to them. And I find out that some people aren't meant to be with you forever. I accept that. It hurts when we lose people. But I find out in ministry, people come and go. And you've got to accept that. And you go on. There'll be people that come and join the church. Some of them may never come back. Some of them may come back for a little while. Some of them may stay for a little while. But I want to tell you something. You've got to realize that some people aren't put in your life to stay forever. Some people are. Some are not. Let me tell you why. Because sometimes people want to soar higher with the Lord. Not everybody wants to soar higher. Some of you today, you want to go higher with the Lord. You want to serve the Lord. You want to study the Word of God. You want to get in Sunday school. You want to soar as high as you can with the Lord Jesus. But everybody is not like that. And people that don't want to soar high with you will leave and drop off. All people are not to be in your life forever. Not all people, some people are. But look what he says. But yet, it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. It shall be eaten as a tail tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Don't underestimate. When you sow a seed, a gospel seed, into somebody's heart, don't ever underestimate that seed coming back. You may not see it in your life or in your ministry, but you just do what Isaiah, what God told Isaiah to do. Look outward, preach the word, plant the seed, and the seed will be the substance. What? The teal tree. It's sort of like an oak. You know, oak, the oak trees around here, they keep their leaves for heaven. You know how I know that? Because they have trees, they have leaves in winter. Wintertime. I remember when I was a little boy, I was out in the yard playing with fireworks. Sparklers, that's about we had sparklers, we had black cat firecrackers, and we had M80s. M80s. Those M80s were destroyed mailbox. Don't ask me how I know that. Ronald Porter said, I mean, that's a federal offense, really. Don't ask me. That is a federal offense. I remember one day I was playing with sparklers. And that thing, it got hot, burned my hand, it was swung up in here. And it went in the neighbor's oak tree. It hung up in the tree. It set that tree on fire. I'm looking at the neighbor's tree, it's on fire. What do I do? Somebody said, run. I don't know who it was, but I heard it. And I ran. And hid under the bed. Substance is the word of God. It will last forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will stand forever. The flowers will fade and die and fall to the ground. The grass that is green will wither and die, but the word of God will stand forever, forever, and forever. How about you? When you say, Lord, here am I, send me. Five words that will change your life. You say them, amen. People are sick, people are hurting, people are lost. What are you going to do about it? It's your responsibility, just as well as it is mine. What are you going to do about it? And preach the message, train up your children in the way they should go when they're old enough to talk. How you train your children. Your children will be who you are. Now that varies a little bit at times, but basically, more often than not, your children will be who you are. That's why I preach so hard about drinking. I don't want our church members to drink because when you joined the church, you promised the church you wouldn't. That is a covenant, a church covenant that you entered into. That you would be faithful, that you would give, that you would not drink, that you would not gossip. You're in a covenant relationship. You know what the word covenant means? It It means a covering. I find out many people, they're in the covenant, but they're living outside of the covenant. They have no respect for the covenant. They have no respect for the Word of God. They're in the covenant. They got saved. They joined the church, but they're living outside of the covenant. The word covenant means to cover. It's just like an umbrella. You can have an umbrella and walk around all day with it closed. And the rain can come and come and come and pour, and you never open that umbrella. You've got the umbrella, but you don't use it. You're not in the authority of it. When you open it, you get under it. That means you are a church member that understands authority in the Word of God. God will bless you if you're under that covenant. He doesn't have to bless you if you're outside of it. If you're under the authority of the Word of God and realize I'm your pastor and what I'm telling you is gospel truth, and if you can take it, if you can stand it, you'll be under the authority of the covenant. Because I am not a church boss. I am not your boss. I'm your under shepherd. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. Over in Israel, shepherds. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Over in Israel, did you know each shepherd for each flock has a distinctive voice? They won't go to another. They know their shepherd. They watch their shepherd. They saw the faithfulness in their shepherd. They saw the sweat and the work that the shepherd put in the flock. They wouldn't follow another. But every now and then, one of them gets out in the highway. They go their own way. And they get run over. And they're a bloody mess in that highway. Should have been that way. See, the thing about this horse, you cannot tell your own way. You've got to have a shepherd. The chief shepherd is Jesus. But praise God, 40 years ago, he saved my soul. He changed my life. He changed me inside out. Called me to preach. Called me to pastor. To love people. But he called me to tell the truth. I said last week, I'm trying to wind down, but just bear with me. I said last week, Jesus said the truth. The truth will set you free. We quote that way a lot of times, but it's really the truth you know will set you free. Right. If you don't know the truth, you are not free.
That's right.
You'll never be free. You've got to know the truth. The truth you know will set you free. Maybe you hear today, you say, Brother Roger, here am I. Send me. Are you willing to be faithful? You see, you join the church. When you join the church, that means, you know, Brother Roger, I'm not going to act like a minister anymore. I'm just not going to act like I'm a bishop to say, well, now they just show up. When you join the church, you become a member of this body, of this family. And you say, I'm going to be faithful. Can I get a hallelujah this morning?
Hallelujah.
Isn't that the truth? The truth you know will set you free. You know why some people feel dead inside? You're living, you're getting older, but you might be becoming more Christ-like because you ain't got plenty in. You know why you're up one day, down the next? You're high on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're high on the mountain of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next day, you're just down, depressed, discouraged. You know why? You ain't got plugged in. The truth you know will set you free. The truth you know will fill your soul. It will change your life if you mean it. Look to God. An upward look today. Look at self. An inward look. Look at yourself. Inside. You can't look at someone else. Judge yourself. Be honest. Look inside. If you're dead inside, say, Lord, I'm dead inside. I'm miserable. Be honest with God. Take an inward look. And then take an outward look. See where God wants you. Don't you dare say anything if you're not going to be committed to it. Don't do it. I know people get sick. I know people have to work. And I know people have to go out of town on vacation. Look at me. I understand that. I don't fuss at people. I'm talking to people that stay home just because they can. Just because they bought some good burgers. Hamburger meat there at the butcher block. Say, well, I think I'm going to stay home tonight. That's not a Christian. If it is, you're living outside of the umbrella. And God can't bless you. But God is so gracious. God is so kind. God is so awesome. At times, we can even be out from under the authority of God's word. And God says, here's a little trickle of blessing. Hey, here's a little bit. He said, oh God, thank you. But I'm going to tell you something. What you need to do is realize that God is trying to draw you. What will you do? Will you leave this church different? Saying, Lord, hear me. Send me. Or will you just go out the way you drug in? Times in our life. We ought to be excited to go to church. We ought to be loving the church. We've lost our love. We've lost our first love, our first love of Jesus. Many people have lost it today. How about you? You take that look in your heart and you respond to God today like you've never responded to Him before. Let me tell you about preaching, folks. Look up here. Preaching is supposed to be convicting. It's not my obligation or responsibility to convince anybody. My obligation and my calling is to preach the Word of God. It's up to you to respond. It is convicting. Thank God. for conviction. If you're convicted, that means you're alive. Come to God. Come to Jesus today. Won't we stand?